Our reading for this evening is taken from Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honoureth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honour? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Question and another answer to it. Malachi asks the questions as if they come from the Jewish people, but he makes statements from God himself. Now Malachi is a contemporary of Nehemiah. There's a great commonality between the two. It's thought that Malachi came after Nehemiah, as it is unlikely that in verse 8 the Persian governor is Nehemiah himself, or he would have named him. But Malachi himself is an unknown. Even his name is ambiguous because it means messenger. Whether this was his title or his name, it's not known. But he writes with boldness, both accusing the priesthood of going astray and the people. But he writes with this sarcastic tone, with retorts and questions. Questions like, and ye ask? Now Malachi is at a junction. He is the last prophet of the Old Testament. He is looking back at what God had given the Jewish people. But he is also looking forward to God, to what God will do and what he will give them in the future. And this is a junction for the people themselves, for the whether they will follow God or follow their own natural desires. The Jews had been restored. And it's into this situation that Malachi is speaking. The walls around Jerusalem had been rebuilt, and Jerusalem stood firm. The temple had been rebuilt. Worship had been initiated, and the rites incorporated in. And yet, this was a small province in the Persian Empire. It was surrounded by many enemies. And they had to be aware of what was going on around them. But here is Malachi standing, as if a pillar between the two testaments. There stands a gap of 400 years until the next prophet. Chapter 3 mentions this. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. He's looking forward again to the Messiah. But he looks about him, and what he sees does not please him. He observes the degenerate condition of his fellow Jews, and what will befall them if they don't change their attitude. He says in chapter 2 verse 1, and now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. It is the priests that Malachi addresses. O ye priests, we have that in our reading. O priests that despise my name. What is Malachi addressing? He's addressing the broken relationship. For it says, a son honoureth his father. Israel is the Lord's son. Exodus says, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. That's out of Exodus chapter 4. God sees them as his children, as his sons. And he's saying, I'm your father. You have not honoured me as such. You have not respected me as your father. You've wandered off. You've ignored me. And you treated me appalling, not as a son should treat a father. Where is mine honour? God asks of them. But if I'm not your father, I am your master, I am your Lord, your God. Surely you would show respect to your master. Surely you would fear your master. For if they were slaves, they should fear their master, for he could punish them. And Malachi answers for the priests, as if they haven't got a voice of their own. And they ask the question from Malachi, wherein have we despised their name? Don't they realise? Do they know what they've done or not done? Perhaps not. For it is easy to slip into worldly ways. We can all do it. We can have excuses, we can have reasons. Many can be brought forward, these excuses and reasons. Well, sacrificial lambs. We didn't have too many of them, perhaps. And we had to bring the poor quality forward. And as they see, they sacrifice these lambs. They say, oh, God hasn't done anything about that. We can do the same again and again. And next time they might be more blatant. And it's a damaged lamb. Yet God knows all. Mouldy bread. You have offered polluted bread. You offered the blind for sacrifices. God has seen what they're doing. And he's been patient with them up to a point. But now he speaks. The sacrifices are meant to be the best. And they give their worst. Now I ask you. How would you feel if someone gave you a gift? Perhaps it's a book. And there were pages torn out. Pages missing. It's just a small gift. Would you welcome it? A jigsaw with many pieces missing. Incomplete. A cracked vase. Flowers that were past their best. How would you feel? You would not be pleased. You would rather not have them at all. Think about their sacrifices. What does it represent? What is this lamb that they bring forward meant to represent? It is a type of Christ. Does it not point to Christ, who is the sacrificial lamb? And what is Christ? He is pure and holy. He is complete. He is willing. He is obedient. God is willing to give his best. He will not accept second best. They are distorting his word. They are distorting his prophecy. He would rather not have them. Verse 10 speaks it plainly. Who is there, even among you, that would shut the gates for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, said the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Shut the doors. Shut the doors of the temple. I don't want it. I don't want your offerings. They're poor. They're soiled. They're not worth it. You're breaking your relationship with me. You're not honouring me. What had happened to these people that they come to such a situation? There'd been a moral decay. These priests are in the line of Lehi. They were given a covenant of peace and life. The priest is to live honestly and walk upright before God. But he is degenerated to mouldy bread and diseased animals. How can they lead the people? How can they approach God? How can their sins be dealt with? How quickly this moral decay creeps in. Ezra and Nehemiah, only a few years earlier, had reinstated God's laws. They'd come back from Babylonia. They'd settled around Jerusalem. And Ezra and Nehemiah come with God's word and saying, right, let's put everything right. These are God's laws. You've married foreign women, you must get rid of them because they're pulling you away from God. Put them away, and they did. The temple was set up and all the religious rites were put in place. God's words were fresh in the ears of the people. The people were reinvigorated after their exile. What had happened to them in such a short time? As a church historian who makes a note, George Lapiana, he once said that every religious movement passes through three stages. The ethical, the theological, the aesthetic. What did he mean? Religion begins with moral reform. And they had that. They repented in Babylon and God heard their words cry out to him. He brought them back. They reflected on their faith. And Ezra and Nehemiah directed them in their formulation of how they should practice their faith. But then there's the aesthetic. They built their temple. The beauty of the buildings and the apparatus of its worship. Three things. Then what happens? Moral decay sets in. Is it because we seek God so much that we reform our lives and repent and we're happy in that and we want to go forward and we dwell on God's word and we see what it means in our lives? But then when we start building, do we get distracted? The enemy comes in. We see all these wonderful buildings that we got and all the paraphernalia that comes in. And does the enemy turn us away from God? There was moral reform, as we've seen. Ezra came in, reinstated it. Jerusalem was built, the temple was built, and then moral decay. It's not only the Jews. We should all learn from this. Christianity reflects this pattern. Francis of Assisi. He started with his pure faith. He set up his Franciscan monks and friars. They set up their monasteries. And then decay sets in. They go wayward. The Catholic Church started well. But soon it strayed. As it gathers its ornaments and worldly pleasures seem to be a high priority. But our Reformed churches are the same. The Church of England. It had its moral reforms. It had its Book of Prayer. moral reforms, the reflected book of prayer. We start building apparatus around our worship. And then there is the rejection of the